Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you were listening at the beginning of the show today, you heard David Leonhardt of the New York Times make a case for why the stimulus bill has been more effective than it's been given credit for, and that a job saved can be just as good as a job created. Well, if you work in education, the success of the stimulus was easy to see last year. Thousands of jobs were saved in New York alone, as $31 billion dollars in American Recovery and Reinvestment Act money flowed into New York City Department of Education coffers. However, much of this cash was used as a short-term fix, floating jobs and programs for a year. And many now warn of a stimulus cliff coming up for schools that are relying heavily on government money to keep themselves afloat. Since today is the official first birthday of the Economic Recovery Act of 2009, we've been taking some time to drill down on some of the specific successes and failures of the bill. Tomorrow we'll talk about transportation, by the way. But for part two of this three-part series, we are joined by Michael Rebell, the executive director of the Campaign for Educational Equity at Teachers College at Columbia University, who recently published a study that tracked the use of Recovery Act funds by educators in 20 states. Michael, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Very glad to be back with you.
And before the end of this conversation, we're going to talk about something that just popped up on the New York Times home site about a proposal to let students start college after 10th grade. And at least in one place in the country, they're talking about eliminating 12th grade. So, I mean, this is the kind of environment that we're in now when looking at education money, right?
I guess so. Any way to save money is the way some people are looking at it. I don't think that that is the best way for children, but we can get into that later, I guess.
I guess so. And so many states are finding that after a year, they are back where they started, once again facing budget shortfalls and potential layoffs. We just heard about Governor Christie's cuts to education around New Jersey in the newscast, but this time with much of the stimulus money behind them already. So the stimulus money running out is this cliff that education folks are talking about?
That's right. A lot of the money was going to be available for 2 years, and that two-year period starts running out next year. We're going to have a huge problem in New York State. There's going to be a big problem in New Jersey, just about everywhere in the region.
And in an ideal world, what were the Recovery Act funds supposed to be used for?
Well, in education, the Recovery Act funds had two stated purposes. The first purpose, of course, was to maintain and create jobs. But at the same time, the Obama administration made a very clear decision to give priority to education. And they said, we're going to give $100 billion to education out of the 700 whatever stimulus money. We want to maintain jobs there, but we also want to allow school districts throughout the country to have the means to really move forward on educational improvement. And they set out four major priority areas, which not coincidentally were the major problems with the Bush administration's No Child Left Behind Act. So they were going to use the stimulus money to move us forward on getting more effective teachers, turning around low-performing schools, raising standards, etc.
And there was flexibility. You could shift money around from program to program. If you got funding under, say, what they call the IDEA program, but needed it to prevent a teacher from getting pink slipped, that was okay under the stimulus bill?
Well, that one was not okay. There were three big pots of money coming under the stimulus bill. It gets a little complicated, but I'll try to make it simple. The largest amount of money, what was called the Educational Stabilization Fund, was about $40 billion. And that is the money that was flexible. You also had $13 billion going for Title I, which is for disadvantaged students, and about $10 billion going for IDEA, which is students with disabilities. So in the example you gave, the money for students with disabilities was only supposed to go for students with disabilities. Unfortunately, on that one, there was a loophole that Congress had not been aware of that is allowing school districts to shift that money to to general uses of saving jobs and general education, which was not the intent. But quite frankly, in the rush to get that huge piece of legislation passed, people overlooked a little provision that had said if the federal government ever raises the amount that it gives for disabled students, 50% of that amount can be used to offset local expenses on disabled children. And that was written years ago when they expected federal increases to be a couple of percentage points. But now we got this windfall, and a lot of districts are just siphoning off half their special ed money to pay themselves back for money they've been spending on disabled kids.
Michael Rebell, my guest on WNYC, Executive Director of the Campaign for Educational Equity at the Teachers College at Columbia University. He also was the lead plaintiff in the suit known as the Campaign for Fiscal Equity, which forced the New York State Legislature to provide more money to New York City public schools under the state constitutional requirement for a sound basic education. Yes, it's that Michael Rebell. But here he has studied how the stimulus money has been used around the country for education in his post at Columbia. And I wonder if anybody working in education is listening right now who feels that you have seen stimulus money put to work in education and can either describe how or pass judgment on how at 212-433-WNYC. Are you aware of a way that the stimulus affected you or your school or your district directly? 212-433-WNYC. We'd love to hear from you. 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Michael, in your study of state-by-state spending, you found that six states had already spent all of their two-year education allotments, because the stimulus is a two-year bill, and had no padding for the upcoming school year. Do you remember which six states?
Oh, sure. I think they were Alabama, Arizona, Nevada, New Jersey, and the state of Washington.
Talk about New Jersey.
New Jersey really went through all their funds this year. And as you know, Governor Christie just announced in the last few days that they're not even going to be able to make it through the rest of this year with the stimulus funds. He's pulling about $600 million out of the districts, out of their local so-called surplus funds.
So New Jersey has already fallen off the stimulus cliff. Does that mean that they squandered their stimulus money?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, the main purpose of the Educational Stabilization Fund was to stabilize education. And they've done that in New York and New Jersey for the last couple of years. Looking at it from my New York perspective, I was not ecstatic that all we did was stabilize, because under our CFE litigation, the state was supposed to be phasing in significant increases for New York City and other areas of the state, and that didn't happen. They kept it at a flat funding level. But, you know, before the stimulus bill was passed last year at this time, Governor Patterson had proposed a $1.2 billion cut in state aid to education. So the stimulus money came right in at that point, and they took a $1.2 billion and maintained the prior year's level. We would have had a total disaster if we didn't have the stimulus money. And by the way, for next year, even with the stimulus money, Patterson is now talking about a $1.4 billion cut. So it's been essential, but it hasn't been enough.
But if some states ran out of stimulus money in 1 year and others have not, does this mean that some states are spending smarter than other states?
Well, you know, you can look at that two ways. I know at our symposium we had a representative from Georgia who was upset that the governor saved one-third of the money for next year. He thought he should have spent it this year to avoid a lot of cuts that they had there. They were furloughing teachers 6 days during the year and having no school for kids. And he said since the stimulus money was there, they should have spent it this year and worry about next year next year. And he said by coincidence, the governor's running for re-election next year, so he wanted to save a bundle. So you can argue it both ways.
And I guess the governor in New Jersey, if you want to look at it through that political lens, was running last year. So that would make consistent sense if decisions were made for political purposes by governors in both states. Kim in Spring Valley sees stimulus money being spent there. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What you got?
Our school district, and we're always struggling with money, of course, but our school district is phasing in full-day kindergarten, and we use the stimulus money, our school district uses stimulus money to renovate a kindergarten and pre-K centric school. So it's a pre-education development center, and it's, you know, it's a really fabulous center, and they've, you know, we did the whole thing and got smart boards and all that money. We wouldn't have been able to do any of it if we didn't get the stimulus money.
And did they say it's stimulus money? I mean, was it an actual check from the federal government?
Well, I don't know. I'm a parent. I'm not, I don't work for the school district, but yes, it was defined as stimulus money.
Okay.
From the, you know, the administrative offices and the school board.
Great. So. Thank you very much. Aaron in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
What you got?
Well, I'm a public school teacher at a high school in Manhattan, and we qualified for Title I funds this year and will next year as well for the first time as a result of the recovery money.
Title I funds. That now, Title I is the money that comes from Washington for students in poor, low-income school
right,
districts.
Right, exactly.
Correct?
And part of, I guess, the recovery bill was lowering the standards for qualifying for Title I.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you know about that,
Michael Rebell?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point he raised. There's a lot of flexibility for school districts to spend the Title I money. New York City chose to do exactly what the caller said. They lowered the eligibility percentage of poor kids in a school to get the Title I money. It went from 60% poor kids in the school to 40%, which is allowed under the law. So New York decided to take the new money and give it to a lot more kids who had not been covered before. And that's great for these kids who are now getting services for 2 years. But what I'm really worried about, and I know some of the Department of Education people are worried about, is after next year, when they don't have that money anymore, they're going to face a very difficult choice. Either they're going to cut off thousands of kids who have been getting services for 2 years, or they're going to have to water down what they can offer to all the kids who have been getting Title I. So it's not going to be an easy ride down that cliff next year in New York City Title I schools.
Aaron, thank you for your call. Do you know how much of the overall stimulus went to education? Is it a big percentage of the federal stimulus by design?
Yes, I think so. It was approximately $100 billion went to education. The total bill was something over $700 billion, so that's about 15%.
Here in New York City, do you have a sense of how bad it would have gotten or how many teachers would have had to have been laid off without the Recovery Act funds?
I don't have that at the moment, but if anybody wants to look at the Department of Education websites, Joel Klein is now projecting how many they're going to have to lay off if the governor's cuts for next year come through. And they're in the realm of what the governor was threatening last year, and it didn't happen last year because the stimulus money saved him. And we've got a bit of stimulus money left in New York next year, but not a lot.
Susanna in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. You got stimulus money in Morris County?
Yes, I am an educational consultant, and Passaic School District was able to bring me in through the ARA funds to work with their literacy coaches to provide them a professional development to integrate English language learners into the mainstream classroom. And given that Passaic is 85% Latino, that's a very valuable asset for the teachers to have.
And was it clear that it was stimulus money per se?
Yes, it was through ARA funds directly.
So what's going to happen now with, you know, again, if Michael's report is accurate, that money is dried up. You just had it for a year.
Exactly. So what I was able to do was this school year, I was able to provide the teachers with this kind of training. And the hope is that now these literacy coaches will be able to turnkey this professional development to the teachers in their respective schools.
So what about that, Michael Rebell? There's a lesson in that. It sounds like Susanna's got a really good lesson for how to use this money to build the foundation of something for the future and not just use it as a Band-Aid for a year.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good use of the money, and we've found many instances like that around the country. We've also found instances where people ran out to buy a lot of fancy laptops and computers that they were just going to give to students that were not integrated with a well-conceived program. It sounds like her program is well-conceived, and it's training that's going to go on, and that's wonderful. And One of the other hopeful areas in the area of IDEA for disabled students, a lot of districts were using that to catch up on building renovations and getting assistive technology that these kids desperately need. Those things are always very expensive, and school districts are always behind the eight ball in meeting those needs. So the stimulus money in those areas, I think, was very well spent.
Susanna, do you have any assessment from where you sit of what Governor Christie's budget freezes are going to mean for that population in Passaic County? He says that he really looked at it district by district, and he's only freezing aid to those that already have enough money in the pot to get through the school year, this school year, with no layoffs.
Right. Now, what happens is, as we know through education, especially in terms of professional development, the teachers need this kind of professional development. They need to be able to integrate their students. So when teachers are not born with this knowledge, and the teacher schools are not preparing them to deal with diverse communities. So the teachers need to get this training one way or another. And if they don't have it, then they won't be able to provide the children with the services that they require. So there is going to be a problem in terms of children aren't going to get what they deserve. And we can't up the bar on the quality of education that they should be receiving.
Susanna, thank you for your call. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You know, on the point you just mentioned, Brian, it was interesting. Your news broadcast just a couple of minutes ago was saying that the poor urban areas in New Jersey are going to be the hardest hit by this latest budget cutback that the governor's announced. I, you know, it was the first I heard of that, and I was surprised because when he put out his executive order last week, it sounded like all he was going to do was take surplus funds that I had presumed suburban affluent districts had been able to keep in the bank, so to speak, and save for future emergencies. I'd be very surprised if Newark and Camden and the other really poor districts were just keeping funds in the bank. Poor urban areas don't usually do that. So we really need to dig into exactly who's being impacted in New Jersey, because if it's going to be the kids in those poor districts, it's going to be a huge problem.
Absolutely, and our newsroom is digging into that even as we speak, as we heard one example of in that report. So before you go, how are states planning for the cliff, the education stimulus money cliff that they will fall off either at the end of this year, as in New Jersey's case and five other states, or at the end of next year when the two-year stimulus program money runs out for everyone else? We do have these examples now, and I said we talk about this. State Senator Chris Butters of Utah has suggested that his state make a dent in its budget gap by eliminating the 12th grade. And this just in on the New York Times website this morning. This headline is, "Plan would let students start college after 10th grade." And it says, in an experiment that could reshape American secondary education, high schools in eight states will introduce new courses next year, along with a battery of tests for sophomores that will allow students who pass to get a diploma 2 years early and immediately enroll in community college. So not to overstate this, it also says students who pass but aspire to attend a selective college may continue with college prep courses in their junior and senior years, according to organizers of the new efforts. Students who fail the 10th grade tests, known as board exams, could try again at the end of 11th and 12th grades. But, you know, this says it is modeled largely on systems in high-performing nations, including Denmark, Finland, England, France, and Singapore. What's your first impression of this? Are you familiar with this in any other country? And does it also provide a way for K through 12 systems to shift some of the burden to higher education?
Well, you know, this is an experiment that's been going on in the United States and New York for a number of years, not just in those other countries. Bard College has a Bard High School in New York City that is an early college innovation along these lines that after, I forget whether it's 10th or 11th grade, students can go on to Bard or other colleges. And it's a wonderful opportunity, but as you had mentioned, it's usually the high-performing students who take advantage of this. Now, the impression I'm getting from the bulletins you're reading is that some people are looking at this as a huge a way of saving money in this budget crunch era. that would be a disaster. I mean, you can't do this on a massive scale and just say we're going to eliminate 12th grade for a large percentage of the population. For one thing, I'll tell you, I think that would be unconstitutional. More than half the states in this country have had rulings from their state courts saying that kids have constitutional rights to basic, sound, basic education. And if you're lopping off a year before they finish learning what the state standards say they have to learn, that seems to me a pretty clear legal violation. So I know states are under tremendous cost-cutting pressure, but I think what they've got to do is look at areas like school district consolidation. You know, we have over 100 school districts on Long Island, and in many states, an area the size of Nassau County would be a single school district, as in Montgomery County in Maryland and all. Those kinds of things can save a lot of money and not have a negative impact on kids.
In New Jersey, they have like 600 school districts in that relatively small state by area. So imagine the job of Governor Christie's people going through district by district and trying to figure out which ones had surpluses or whatever in figuring out where to enact those freezes.
It may be difficult, but it's a better way than furloughing teachers for 17 days a year as they did in Hawaii or cutting the 12th grade arbitrarily on students who haven't learned what they should have yet.
Michael Rebell, Executive Director of the Campaign for Educational Equity at Teachers College at Columbia University, studying the impact of the stimulus money on education in our area and nationwide. Thank you so much for this.
Okay, my pleasure, Brian.
Tomorrow, our three-part look at the stimulus bill at its first anniversary continues with a look at rail and other transportation infrastructure and the stimulus bill. Speaking of schools and time off, I will be off tomorrow and Friday to spend some time with my kids during part of President's Week. Jamie Floyd will be here handling part three of our stimulus series. But coming up in just a minute, we continue our Help Wanted series. Today, a look at the online advertising industry, and we'll meet another of our WNYC Help Wanted contributors. Stay with us.